Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It's not that we're anti-blimp today. It's just there's nothing to talk about. I realize in the end, it garnered our highest ratings of the month. So, needless to say, I really was not against the blimp.
Sadly, the web pages I had ready to go up, Blimpageddon, and then the Blimpgate that would follow, we're just not able to use them. It's really depressing.
I feel awful. I mean, I've already had 8 or 9 text messages saying, well, how about some Blimp coverage? I said, I'm a sportscaster. As by the way, Jennifer Wakeman pointed out, no certain terms yesterday during our Blimp coverage. A sports guy. Sports guy's doing all the interviews. What's going on here? Well, don't you think it's only appropriate that somebody who blows a lot of hot air for a living talks about something that blows a lot of
And all that air was released today with shotguns.
Well, I don't want that result.
That really does not help our image in Central Pennsylvania by shooting it down with shotguns.
Well, how else are you going to deflate it? What, do you want to go up there with a pin?
No, that's a thought. It'd be a really big pin.
Look, you're at a distance. Just aim and fire. All right. Now, what would be bad is if somebody missed.
That would be bad.
That defines the broadside of a barn. All right. Let's bring in Bob Flounders, Patriot News, and also PennLive.com. Hi, Bob. Welcome.
Steve, how are you? I always like these. I like these facts. I really do. The Mets fact, the Shea Stadium. I'm not a Mets fan, but I did enjoy watching that game last night.
I got to 10 innings, and then after that, things started to fade.
Yeah. Well, you have an early wake up call most days, do you not? Yeah,
sure, absolutely. So, Bob, 31-30. Where is this team better than they were a month ago, as you've assessed it?
I think where they're better, Steve, is on the offense, and I think two things. Obviously, Saquon Barkley, even though he didn't have his best game, I do think that was the exception and not the rule. I think Saquon moving forward just really changes things for Penn State. And also, I don't know how you feel about it. It's pretty clear to me now that Chris Godwin is their best, most dangerous wide receiver, and he has gotten better as the season has gone on and making plays on contested catches. I think it's a big deal because now I think Christian kind of has a little bit of a rapport with him. And rather than Penn State, maybe the passing game sputtering in the short to mid-range area, which has been, I think, a problem for a little while now, when they want to take a shot deep, I think they have a guy that more often than not is either going to make a catch or he's going to draw a flag. And I really think it helps an offense that does have some issues on the offensive line. I think more than anything, that's where they're different from about a month ago.
Yeah, and you mentioned Chris Godwin. He actually a year ago graded out on Josh Gattis' skills the number one guy. So he's really picked up where he left off. What do you think of his concentration, Bob, in terms of the ability to get 50-50 balls?
I know. I mean, Penn State fans don't have to go back very far, Steve, to recall a guy that was really good on contested 50-50 balls, and that was Allen Robinson. The one-handed catch that he made against Maryland when he was being interfered with, I mean, there's not too many human beings that can make that play. And I also thought, Steve, one of the true underrated plays in the Maryland win was that catch and run he had at the end of the third quarter on 3rd and 15. He made four or five Maryland guys look bad. They were playing off. It was one of the few times they didn't press. They had the right coverage, but he was just better than the coverage, and that was a huge play in the game. I think four plays later, Geno Lewis scored the touchdown. I guess that was the eventual game-winning points, but I really think that was a huge play in the game, and it just shows, Steve, the variety of different ways I think that Chris Godwin can hurt a defense now.
Obviously, Wes Lunt has his own way of hurting a defense because he has a terrific arm and a really good feel for the game. But, Bob, is it better for this Penn State defense to face that style as opposed to what they've seen the last 2 weeks?
I absolutely think it is, Steve. And I know that the way that Illinois kind of plays the game and their offensive line, I know that the offensive line is very solid. It won't be easy for Penn State to get to Lunt, but I do think this Penn State front four is built to attack, pocket passers, which he obviously is. I think that the last 2 weeks, one of the things that's really hurts Penn State's defense is that offenses and running quarterbacks have been able to kind of use their aggressive nature up front against them. The way that Carl Nassib plays, the way that Stickles plays, the way that a guy like Zettel wants to get up the field. You know, if you overcommit or you come charging up too quickly, there's going to be some running room if you don't make the play initially. And there were some times I thought that running quarterbacks were kind of able to take advantage of that. I think Penn State's defense, Steve, knows where Wes is going to be. And I think it's a much easier way, a much easier scheme for, I think, Bob Schoop to design to kind of get some pressure on them. They struggle with running quarterbacks. They haven't always tackled well. It's one less thing they have to worry about, and I think it's a better matchup, I think, for Penn State's defense.
Various circumstances have come into play with coaches across the country this year. Jerry Kill, for example,
and
you feel awful for the fact that he has to retire at this time. It was very, very tough to see that happen. But then there's been Randy Etzel, Al Golden as examples, and then Steve Sarkisian in a different realm. How do you feel about coaches getting fired in midseason if there is not an outside issue other than perception of on-field performance?
I think every case, Steve, is a little bit different. I mean, once you look at what happened with Al Golden, that wasn't really an isolated incident. The 59-0 loss. He was on the hot seat long before that.
Yes.
They made a judgment call on him. The same with Randy Etzel. I mean, when you look back on his time at Maryland, the defining moment for him was probably his win against Penn State. But really since then, just, not able to field really a competitive team. Bowling Green beat him up pretty good. I think West Virginia embarrassed them, and so did Michigan this year. I think when they make a change, it's such a stressful job. And the pressure is so great. I think when they do make a change, I don't think it's knee jerk. I think it's building towards something. And I think in the case of Etzel, and Al Golden, I think that those guys were kind of, they were on shaky ground to begin with. And anymore, if we live in such a society where it's what have you done for me? Right this minute, forget about what you did a year and a half ago. That's just the way it's going to be. I do think you're going to see a lot more of this, moving forward, and it's unfortunate. But, yeah, the thought of a coach having a five-year plan anymore or a four-year plan when he gets hired, you can forget about that. It's really about a two-year plan tops, and if there's not, if there's not significant improvement, the athletic department's going to make a switch.
There's that typical rush in the first week to 10 days of December where schools make their decisions, and now they've got to go out and they've got to get a pool of candidates and they've got to find something because recruiting's important. Does this then, in your opinion, give Miami, Maryland a little bit more time in this process to really put together what they perceive as the best pool of candidates for them? Is buying time part of this?
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right on that. That's another good point. I'll look at it the other way. I think when Penn State lost Bill O'Brien, Houston made a really early decision, I believe, on their head coach.
I think
it was Gary Kubiak.
It was, yes.
Yeah, and I think they talked about the fact that they did. One of the reasons they did that was to kind of get their ducks in a row, figure out who they wanted, go after him, really kind of have the right guys in mind at the top of the list. And obviously, I think Bill was at the very top of the list, and it gave them kind of like a head start on the rebuilding process. And I'm sure colleges are probably looking at that too. I mean, you're right. You know, sometimes the decision on whether or not to replace a coach is not made, you know, by the end of the season, or it might take a week after. And the coaches that are doing it now, or the programs that are doing it now have, you know, a vital time advantage, I think, to get a leg up on that coaching search. And I'm sure Maryland's got quite a few people in mind, for example, with regard to their head coach. And I think you'll probably see them strike pretty quickly to find his successor.
And especially when they're backed up by Kevin Plank and the Under Armour part of it, like you see
exactly.
Phil Knight with Oregon. Back to this game on Saturday. Going in, we all know they play out differently, but going in, what's on your checklist that you'll be watching for, especially early in this game?
Well, you know, I did take note that James made a point. You know, Penn State hasn't had their bye week yet.
Yes.
And they won't have it for a little while, and it's very rare, I think, for a team to have to play. You know, this will be their ninth game. They'll play another game. And he did say that you know, right after they beat Maryland, he met with the training staff and the coach and the strength and conditioning staff. We have to be careful. We have to modify practice this week because I'm worried about the guys' legs, because they've just been, you know, they played a bunch of tough games. They just played Ohio State 2 weeks ago. And one of the things I will be looking for is just to see how fresh they are at the start. I think that'll be definitely an issue. And for me, I want to see if Penn State's defensive line can continue to get pressure on the quarterback. Because I think, this, you know, Illinois just wants to throw the ball. I know they have a running back that when he's healthy can cause some problems, but they're built to throw the ball. Yeah. So if this guy gets comfortable and Penn State can't force turnovers, I think it will be a game into the fourth quarter. But I have a feeling that you're going to see – Penn State's defensive line really kind of take control of this game. I thought Anthony Zettel played very, very well against Maryland. He was very disruptive, and I thought it was one of his best games of the season. I want to see that matchup, and I want to see if Penn State has its legs at the start of the game.
And he might be on Spencer, the center, and that might be actually an advantageous matchup for Anthony Zettel in this game based on some of the metrics. So. Hey, Bob, thanks so much. I always appreciate it. Enjoy the talks very much.
Okay, Steve, take care of yourself.
Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. We'll
If you're like me, you're tired of all the Halloween spooktacular deals and sick of the ghostly low prices. Since when did Halloween become a car buying holiday anyway? Well, Sunbury Motors Hyundai isn't about silly hype. They offer good old-fashioned feel-good deals all the time. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the official sponsor of great cars at great prices. And they want you in an Elantra. To prove it, there's 0% financing for 72 months on all in-stock 2016 Elantras. Check out the completely redesigned 2016 Hyundai Tucson. In stock now. Or at SunburyHyundai.com. These impressive SUVs are priced at invoice minus rebates till October 31st. Prices start at just $25,411. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, veterans and all active military receive an additional $500 off your new Hyundai in honor of your service. Forget about scary offers. Ditch the Halloween tricks and leave your costume at home. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, it's simply good old-fashioned feel-good deals year-round. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyHyundai.com.
Well, it's great to catch up with Bob Flounders, who does an excellent job covering Penn State football for the Patriot News and PennLive.com. Fortunately, we get a lot of outstanding beat writers on the show, from Mark Wogenrich to Rich Scarsella to Bob Flounders to Frank Badani. We had Frank on last week. And Donnie Collins, Donnie gives us a lot of time. We appreciate that very much. All of them have something in common. They're all really, really good professionals. Rock solid. I enjoy their work very much and have respect for their work very, very much. At some point, I'll tell you, one guy I want to get on here at some point, and it's easy for me to do it. It's just a question of me actually doing it, and that would be get Joe Giuliano on from Philadelphia. Joe is another fabulous writer. I like having Joe on the show. Yeah. And there's several. I could talk about several other guys like that. Do a great job covering the team. Travis Johnson of the Sunday Daily Times does a nice job. Oh, big high school game coming up tonight, Danville and Shikellamy. Kevin has all the inside information on both teams.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one tomorrow night at Ironman Stadium.
Yep. Way to inform the audience, Kev. That was just terrific.
Just
terrific.
I have a friend that tells me don't give it all away before the game. So you don't want to make the pregame too good or the pregame too good. You want to save it for the game. So I'm saving it all for the game.
That's not what I told you.
Oh, did I get it confused?
Yes, that's why I don't put stuff on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
I preview the game. I go through all the time on this show, exactly what you should be looking for and why and so forth. And what are the matchups? Let's take Illinois, for example. What are the matchups to look for? All right, Sickles, Schwann, and Curtis Cothran off the edge against Austin Schmidt could be one that's advantageous for Penn State. Also, another one would be whether it's Austin Johnson or Anthony Zettel, they might have a favorable matchup against Joe Spencer, the center. Penn State's going to have to worry a bit about a change that they've made on the other side. Carroll Phillips, they're now using the junior college transfer on third down off the edge, and they're going to have to handle him, and he takes a steep angle when he rushes. That's something to watch for in the game on Saturday. They use their safety and bring the safety up into play. They do not flip their corners, but they do flip their safeties field to boundary. They take the corner, V'Angelo Bentley, when they go nickel, and they flip him inside as the nickel back or as their star position. And then they bring in one of two guys, either Jalen Dunlap or Darius Mosley, to play the corner spot, and that's how they play it.
Well, it's a little harder. It's a little harder to talk matchups, but one thing that I think is very interesting.
Why? Because you might insult people? What?
Well, no, it's a tougher match. It's tougher to talk about offensive line matchups in high school because the guys change a little bit more often. So it's a little tougher. Well,
what do you mean they change more often?
Well, there's a couple of guys that are going to be out for this particular game.
I've never seen offensive linemen out.
I didn't say that. I said it's a little tougher here because it's harder to find the matchup. The interesting matchup with a couple of the guys being out that you would have expected to be in that spot. One stat, though, that I think is interesting, and that's what I like to focus on. I know matchups are nice, but I like to focus on some of the numbers.
Matchups of the game!
But this is a number that I think is very interesting for a team that is 4-4.
Human being versus human being. Kind of an odd concept.
This is interesting for a team that's 4-4 and one that's 5-3. These sort of numbers you would expect from teams that are 7-1, 8-0. Shikellamy right now is plus 11 in the turnover ratio. Danville is plus 15. Those are impressive numbers. Those are impressive numbers. And it tells you the way both teams are protecting the football on offense and how they're... Well, quite honestly, both these secondaries ball hawk the ball very, very well. And that's where I think the matchups are. Not necessarily personnel on personnel, but I think the...
Oh, no. We wouldn't want to do that. Human against human to figure out which human's better.
I think how well the quarterbacks throw the ball and how accurately they're going to throw the ball will make a big difference against a secondary that has... Both secondaries that have just tried to pick off every pass that exists. And have done so fairly successfully. Again, as I said earlier, Danville with three pick sixes so far this year, at least three pick sixes so far this year. I mean, that's immediate point turnaround.
Shikalovi has one guy at seven picks this year, right?
That is true. Sean Turber. He's also the biggest threat on offense to run the ball. He's thrown for two touchdowns. He's run and caught several touchdowns. The only thing he hasn't done this year, well, he had a punt. Did he had a punt return for a touchdown? He has not had a kickoff return for a touchdown, and he has not had a pick six yet.
This game's at Danville, right?
It is indeed.
Quick trip home.
It'll be a short one.
You think they'll show you the love up there?
No, I think I'll get harassed. Well, that happens anywhere I go, so why should this be different?
Have you asked yourself why?
Yeah, it started about 4 years ago with a show that that runs between 3 and 5 every weekday.
Yeah, the odd thing is, I talked to other people in the station. Evidently, it just continuing on a tradition unlike any other.
It's better than the Masters.
Poo-poo on matchups.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. Hope you enjoyed our high school football previews between 3:30 and 4. If you missed any, it's on the Steve Jones Show podcast. And Bob Flounders, PennLive.com, Patriot News. We thank Bob. He was on the previous half hour. Again, if you missed that, that also was on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Also listening to Kevin dance around the Danville Shikalimi game and giving the listeners no information whatsoever.
Oh, but
I found
you're just going to have to listen at 6:30, Steve.
Well, I don't need to be a hostage.
I got nothing.
I'll wait for all your stuff on Twitter. How about that?
Oh, we're yeah. Chief and I will do a Periscope before, actually, probably right before pregame.
Periscope?
Mm-hmm.
So how many hits do you get on Periscope?
I think we had 18 live last week. Which is actually pretty good because you're doing, if you have 18 people lock on live, that's not bad for us. We're not that entertaining.
I wasn't going to get into that. You guys do a great job. You do.
We definitely look better out of video or audio than we do video. I can tell you that. We do not have a makeup person.
Where did winning become not enough? When? And I realize in college football along the way over the years, there have been accusations of running up scores for style points and things like that, trying to impress pollsters and voters and so forth. But when did winning not become enough? Did I miss something along the way where you've got to, you know, where you not only have to win the game, but it's got to be done in such a way where it satisfies the masses that it grades out as A's across the board. I mean, obviously, you want your team to play as well as possible. I completely understand that. You want to be able to see, you know, really good performances, entertaining performances, rock-solid performances. But I'm starting to get concerned that winning is not enough anymore. And I go back to a comment that Kevin made when we were talking about whether he thinks the Bengals-Steelers game should have been flexed out to Sunday night. And I said, NBC laughed at that notion last week and laughed at the notion this week. They got 2-6-0 teams with Green Bay taking on Denver. And you said, yeah, but that's not really great 6-0 for Denver, essentially.
Yeah. No, I said that, yeah. I mean, they've played okay.
But when did winning not become enough?
Well, I think we look for that we look for a team that continually is dominating, and we expect a team that is undefeated to be dominating and not, and wonder when it's going to stop. In other words, in the back of your mind, is my team getting lucky and winning? And is that okay when the playoffs roll around? How long can you be lucky and win? That, I think that's what started the question.
No, I even then, as I've told you, once you get into the tournament, you're in the tournament. And once you get into the tournament, okay, everybody does literally start even, and you do have to start over again. And I pointed that out for a long time. That's why so many number six seeds have had the success that they've had. The Steelers won the Super Bowl as a sixth seed. Green Bay won the Super Bowl as a sixth seed. Not out of the realm of possibility. Wild cards have been winning the World Series. Teams that win the President's Trophy in the NHL normally are not the teams that end up winning the Stanley Cup. We have not had great champions, with a few exceptions over the last 15 years. We've had some really good teams win championships. Really good. And were the Giants the best team either year when they beat the Patriots in the two Super Bowls? Well, not necessarily, yet on those two particular days, the Giants were the better team. They beat them. I'm wondering what the heck is going on now in sports where, well, that's not really a great 6-0. That's not really a great 6-2. I've heard that about the Penn State team. I mean, they're really not that good. You know, okay, they've won 75% of their games. I don't know. I've become very. I mean, you listen to people now. I know you want to get better all the time. That part I understand. You want to get your team to get better all the time. So, I mean, I understand that. So you want your team to get better, and you want the feeling that you're playing great football.
I think when you look at Denver, for instance, there's a couple of games where you feel Denver won, but won by freak plays or unusual plays. And I think that's why the question pops in my mind, is Denver really a good 6-0 team? Now, and I understand what you're asking. They're 6-0. What difference does it make? As long as you're winning, why should it matter?
It doesn't.
But on the other side of that, if you're a Broncos fan, you have to be sitting there going, you know, this team is 6-0, but we have not played really, really well and well enough to continue to be undefeated or to continue to keep this run going.
I mean, again, you want your team to be playing really well. I understand that. I got that. I've listened to more complaints this year about good records. And I'm talking everywhere. Ohio State fans. Do you know how upset Ohio State fans are? At, you know, what are they now, 8-0?
Yeah.
Or 8-0 in the year?
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, oh, we're not playing great. You're like, you're 8-0. How many teams in college football would love to be 8-0 right now?
But look at how many articles were written about this is not a good 8-0 team. This is not the number one team in the nation. It's not just fans. It's not just fans, Steve.
Yeah, but I know it's more than just not just fans.
But you're asking why is anybody this way?
Right. Now I can understand saying, look, they can be better here, they can be better there. I can understand, you know, they can be better on the offensive line. They can be better at quarterback. I understand that. And it's interesting how
when I analyze a game, like Dick was a little dismissive of my opinion of my analysis on Monday. I heard you what you said on Monday. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Okay, fine. If you want to be dismissive of me, that's why I got a little. You know, I do this for a living. And I talked about certain things that I saw during the course of the game. And I watch a lot of tape. I watch practice. I see what's going on. I know where the pluses are. I know where the minuses are. I already know that to begin with. Okay? I know more about the pluses and more about the minuses maybe than anybody because I see it every day. But when I sit there and I look at something, I want people to understand. I'm trying to give you, seriously, an objective viewpoint of what I'm seeing. And here's a major problem that I have right now with how people view objectivity. Look up the definition of objectivity. Does objectivity, is it in the definition that says the only way you can be objective is you must be negative?
A lack of bias, judgment, or prejudice.
No, I mean, does it say in there you have to be negative, now
no.
You're objective?
No,
so if you're negative,
that.
So in today's society, if you're negative, you're objective.
Oh, he's an objective. He gives an objective viewpoint of the team. I mean, he's ripping them the way I am.
Really?
It seems, you know, you make a good point, and I, you know, and especially with what I said earlier, and I think it's because we expect these teams that are, in the case of, I'm going to use the Broncos as an example, we expect these teams that are undefeated to be winning dominantly, and we're not happy because that shows vulnerability in our team.
But my point is this, right? The objects to win the game, to quote the great Herm Edwards, all right, well, if you win the game, have you achieved your objective for the week? And everything's about matchups. How do you mask your deficiencies, and how do you find a matchup that's favorable to you that can swing it? And I wasn't kidding about that at the bottom of the hour. When it came to matchups. Matchups are what, how do you mask your deficiencies in such a way where it doesn't hurt you versus what matchups can you exploit that will help you? And Denver, for example, there are certain things right here. We know Peyton Manning is not playing like the Peyton Manning of 5-6 years ago. We know that. He'd be the first to tell you that. So how does Denver mask that? What is Gary Kubiak doing, for example, in the running game? What's Gary Kubiak doing with certain pass routes to allow Manning to be better at quarterback? Because there are certain things at quarterback now he can't do like he did 6 or 7 years ago. What's he doing? What's Denver doing defensively? Denver's defense has been outstanding so far this year. I mean, they've been outstanding. And I'm seeing this across the board where winning isn't good enough anymore.
I'm an objective observer. I can say a bunch of negative things about them.
Oh, if you say anything positive, Pollyanna. Come on, Pollyanna, whatever. What does he know? Oh, I don't know.
I just think we have high expectations now. And we as I said, we expect these teams that are undefeated to be dominating undefeated.
How high expectations of what? Everything is done now in sports to bring the pack together. Everything in sports brings the pack together. College football, 85 scholarships, 25 in a year. Been like that now for 23 years. It was 95 and 25, and then before 95, 25, you could have unlimited. But 85, 25 was trying to bring the pack closer together. 13 scholarships in men's basketball from 15. Same thing. Trying to bring the pack together. Next part. NFL. Worst record gets the top draft pick. Worst record gets a schedule against the other teams that finish last. Best records get to face all the first place teams. NHL, worst record. You have a coin flip between the two worst records. One gets to pick first, the other one picks second. This time it was Edmonton and Buffalo picked second. NBA, don't get as much help from the draft. The NBA is more of a wide, freewheeling deal. And then baseball's more wild and freewheeling as well, but yet you've been able to strike parity because teams have done a much better job of realizing how they can circumvent the free agent system by developing their farm system and realizing that while it takes longer to do so, you can get longer-term benefits. And they're now signing their younger stars to long-term contracts and avoiding arbitration. But everything in sports today is being done to bring the pack back together. That's why you don't have dominant teams anymore, because the rules are preventing dominant teams from happening. They want to give as many schools and teams as possible a chance. Thus, I think there has to be a change in the standard. Just my thought. I mean, you know, if I'm wrong, and well, I don't think I'm wrong, but that's another thing. I don't mind nitpicking afterward. Where can you be better? 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 But don't dismiss. I mean, people get dismissive of wins. You're like, what the heck? You know how when coaches walk away. You know what primary reason they walk away from the job? Because there becomes a point where losses eat them up and winning isn't fun. That they don't enjoy a win. The second the game's over, you've won the game, like, oh, thank goodness I won. And immediately you kick in and start thinking about the next game. That's why some coaches get out. I know I've talked to two in particular that got out, and their reasons matched up. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. They'll be playing that music tomorrow night in Danville, and Kevin at halftime will be dancing to it. Quite a moment. All right, that will be the game tomorrow night on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Shikellamy playing at Danville. Selins Grove's at Milton tomorrow night. Lewisburg will be at home tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, they have the Defenders of Warrior Run.
Yep.
Just a stone's throw away from the remnants of the blimp.
Yep, shot that thing with some buckshot. Don't think it's usable.
$1.4 billion. Half of the $2.8 it took to build them.
Well, at least they finally confirmed it's down.
The new Area 51 is Jason Johnson's backyard.
And he's loving it.
tomorrow, Brian Barnard, play-by-play voice of Illinois, with us.